We're in week number six. Somebody say six. Of our teachings entitled Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now this morning I'm not going to take time to read the foundational scripture. By now everybody know where it is. Luke chapter 10 verses what? 38 through 42. Amen. Because I think I'll be able to utilize that time a little bit better in the message. Somebody say in the message. Now, if this message goes today like the Lord has given to me, you know, sometimes he carries me in different directions, amen, according to who's here, according to what he wants to say to any individual. But if it goes the way that the Lord has given me, I want to just express, I wish everybody that's a member of this church would be here today, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because we're going to learn some things about ourselves that will help us to change or be better in our living. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I just bless God for what he shares. Somebody say for what he shares. Now last week, I talked about something that the Lord said to me as I sat at his feet a couple of weeks ago. Amen. We understand that sitting at his feet has everything to do with spending time with him by way of worship, prayer, and the word, amen. You know, sometimes he speaks to me as I worship. Sometimes he speaks to me as I pray. And then as I get into the study of the word, he speaks to me often or probably every day, amen. Amen. And I shared a statement with you last week that he shared with me in my quiet time. And then I began to build on that statement last week. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said to me that every behavior, somebody say behavior, that we exhibit is rooted in thought, something taught, or something modeled before us. Amen. Every behavior, say a behavior. That's an action or work that we exhibit is rooted in thought. Somebody say thought. Something taught or something modeled. Somebody say modeled before us. Somebody say amen. Now last week we began to talk about behavior. Somebody say behavior. Behavior is an action or act or a way that we conduct ourselves, amen. And we said that there were basically two types of faith behavior. Say faith behavior. Sometimes I look at principles, sometimes I look at context as it relates to the scripture. It's whatever God gives me at any given time, amen. So I'm basically referring to principles, say principle, when I talk about the two faith behaviors that we exhibit, amen. There's a natural faith behavior. Everybody has that type of faith which leads to action. Somebody say amen. And then there's a God faith behavior. Only the Christians who spend time in God's word exhibit that type of behavior. Amen. Natural faith behavior looks like this. You think a thing and you do a thing. Amen. Whatever that thing is, whether it's good or bad, you think it, it comes by way of your thoughts. And the fruit of that thought or those thoughts would be action. Somebody say amen. And then there's faith behavior in God. That is, we learn what God says to us by way of his word. Then we put what he says to us by way of his word in action. Amen. We believe what God says based upon what his word says. And then we follow up that belief with action. Somebody say action. Gave you two, three scriptures to verify or to solidify or to prove that point. I took you to James chapter 1, verse number 21. Scripture says that we're to be what? Doers of the word. Somebody say doers of the word. The word doer carries the connotation of performing or acting out what the word has prescribed for us to act out. Amen. And then I took you to verse number 25, James 1:25, and it talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. In And when we look into that perfect law of liberty, there's work. Somebody say work. Work that God gives us to do, amen. With that work comes his blessings, because there's blessings in doing the work that he gives us to do, amen. And then I told you about any faith, whether it's natural faith or God faith, that doesn't have actions that goes along with the belief, is a dead faith, amen. It's an inactive faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then we told you from James chapter 1, verse number 22, a complete faith, say complete faith, is a faith that believes and then follow through with action. Say believe,
believe.
And action. Scripture say Abraham believed God, and the reason why we know as an audience that he believed God is because not just what was said, but because we also saw his action. God said, leave your family and your country, go to a land where I will show you. Abraham struck out. Somebody say he struck out. We saw that he believed God based upon what he did. Somebody say amen. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Abraham started up the mountain. When he got ready to sacrifice his son, God said, hold up. There's a ram in the bush. Sacrifice him opposed to your son. Amen. We understand that he believed God based upon his action. Somebody say action. Now, if we didn't see his action in the scripture, we might be able to walk away with the thought that perhaps he didn't believe God. Amen. But because his actions corresponded with what God said, we understand that he believed God, amen. God told Abraham he was going to have a son in his old age, amen. The son manifest, amen. He was 100, his wife was 99, and they still got together, amen. It had to be some miracle working in that, amen. And they conceived a child. Abraham believed God. How do we know he believed God? Because he went to work, amen. Somebody say he went to work. And from his work, God's promise was produced, amen. So faith is complete. Somebody say complete. You can say you believe all day long if you ain't got no action. I'm going to question what you believe, amen. And then on the flip side of that, I can tell what you believe by what you do. I can tell whether or not you're listening to these words that we teach, preach, and putting them into action based upon your actions. I hang out with some of y'all, amen. And then I understand why God got me continually teaching on what I'm teaching on. Somebody say amen. So faith without corresponding actions is not faith at all. Well, it is faith, but it's a dead faith. Somebody say amen. Now today I want to talk about, the thought portion of behavior. Somebody say behavior. Thought has to do with thinking. I think. In most cases, therefore, I do what I think. Somebody say, I think. Therefore, I do what I think. Let me give you a definition for the word think. I'm not think, but thought. Somebody say, man. The word thought is defined as what a person thinks or a person's ideas or what a person have a notion to do, amen. The word think, say think, I'm sorry, thought, somebody say thought, carries the definition or is defined as what a person thinks or a person's ideas or notions, amen. So because we're human beings, we're thinking creatures. Whether our thoughts are good or bad, we're thinking something. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Three things about thoughts. Somebody say amen. One, thoughts produce fruit. Or thoughts produce action. Somebody say amen. If you're thinking, you're going to do something. Amen. You're going to either say what you think or do what you think. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So number one, thoughts produce actions. Amen. You were thinking about robbing the bank And if you didn't curtail that thought, you found yourself in the bank line saying, stick them up. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You thought about doing good for your neighbor. And if you didn't curtail that thought, you found yourself at your neighbor's house doing something good for your neighbor. Amen. Amen. Thoughts produce actions. Or thoughts produce fruit. Fruit is a product of something. Amen. The product of your thought is an action. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 19, I believe. Is this making sense to you? I'm trying to teach you. And I've been trying to teach us over the years that if we don't like what we're doing, we can change what we think so that we can change what we do. Amen. And I'll help you out a little bit. Most of the time, the action that you're trying to change won't ever change until you change what you think. You're trying to be good and you're still thinking evil. Most times you're going to do evil. Amen. If you want to do good, you got to change what you think to thinking good. Does this help you? A lot of my behavior toward my wife has changed because I've learned that I can change what I think, and then I can behave better toward her, or I can treat her better. Amen. I think at the beginning of our marriage, I didn't think of her being as valuable to me as she is to me, or as valuable as she is. Amen. As I spent time in the Word, somebody said, spend time in the Word. And the Word began to produce fruit in me, I began to understand how important she is to me, amen. And for the most part, I try to treat her as the valuable person in my life that she is to me, amen. In the beginning, I thought like the world, or I thought like the world taught me to think, amen. And then I changed systems. Say systems. I went from a world system to a God system in my thinking as it relates to my wife. Then I began to treat her according to God's system. Amen. I'm still a work in progress. Amen. One of the things that helped me treat her better in the Word more than anything else was I read that if I didn't treat her right, or if I didn't treat her, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3, as a partner in life with me, or as a partner in the grace of life with me, then my prayers were going to be hindered, amen. And I know when I needed God, amen. I didn't need nothing to hold up my prayers, amen. So I began to treat her better, and then the Word said that she's the weaker vessel. Let me help you. Doesn't mean that she's the weaker vessel mentally, because she's got some strong mental thoughts, amen. But supposedly, she's the weaker vessel physically, amen. Does this make sense to you? Can I help somebody? Some of our wives' thinking is stronger and better than ours, amen. And if we learn to value them the way that God desires us to value them, we can be recipients of their great thoughts, if you will, amen. But we got to understand, according to God's word, that they are valuable to us, amen. I know we talk about the scripture where it says wives submit to the husband, amen. But we forget about the one that's before that particular one, amen. It talks about mutual submission. Somebody said mutual submission. If we learn about mutual submission, glory to God, husband and wife, we will meet one another's needs. You wouldn't just get your need, and we have a myriad of needs. You just wouldn't get your needs met, and then you shut down, amen. You will understand that the scripture talks about mutual submission, amen. You submit to her needs, she'll submit to your needs, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The word of God is a different system from the world system, and if we begin to study the word of God, we will at some point transfer from world system to God's system, amen. Transferring to God's system, we get his results, amen. Somebody say amen. So thoughts, say thoughts. Let me help you. Thoughts are very important to God. God told Israel, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, amen. Yes. Again, it didn't mean that they could not achieve his thoughts. It meant that at that particular time, they weren't thinking like him, amen. And guess what? It was showing in their fruit. It was showing in their actions. Am I talking to the right house?
Yes.
I can tell, sir, if I can use you for an illustration. I can tell, sir, and this is just for teaching purposes only, I can tell when Shirley thinking like hell. Because she acts like hell, amen. Okay, y'all didn't like that one, amen. That's why I picked Shirley, amen. Because I knew she could appreciate that, amen. Somebody say amen. So thoughts produce fruit. Thoughts produce what? Action. Somebody say action. Hear, O earth, the Lord says, through Jeremiah the prophet, behold, I will certainly bring what? Calamity on this people. Then what did he say next? The fruit of their thoughts. Somebody say fruit of their thoughts. The reason why calamity was coming upon his people was because their thoughts, which were contrary to God's thoughts, were driving them in a direction that God didn't desire them to go in. Amen. And back then, and under the old covenant, the wages of sin was what? Death. Or God was going to punish you in some way if he kept talking to you, just like a good parent. You know, I'm tired of talking to you. Now I got to do something about it, amen. If he kept talking to you and you didn't carry out what he asked you to do, he would punish you back under the old covenant. Somebody say amen. And there's still a residue of that in the new covenant, but I won't talk about that today. Somebody say amen. So their thoughts, somebody said thoughts. Their thoughts betrayed them. The thoughts seen in action helped God to understand, even though he knew anyway, how they were thinking, amen. And if you know anything about the book of Jeremiah, that they went into 70 years of captivity because they wouldn't change the way that they thought, amen. They kept on doing what God desired them not to do, so it brought punishment. Somebody say punishment. So the main thought here is that fruit, somebody say fruit, or thoughts, somebody say thoughts, produce what? Fruit. Somebody say fruit. You read it, didn't you? Or you read along with me? The fruit of what? Their thoughts. The behavior that came from where they were thinking. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to hold you too long. Number two. Somebody say number two. The foundation of our thinking, and this is very important. The foundation of our thinking is our community. Well, the foundation of what we think is where we live or where we grew up. I've used this analogy before. I use it again. Have you ever wondered why Democrats think like Democrats and why Republicans think like Republicans? And in a lot of cases, it's different from the other. It's because of their communities. It's because of the folks that they hang out with. It's because of the people that they listen to. Somebody say listen to. It determines what they believe. I heard all my life that most black folks are supposed to be Democrats. And I believed that until I got grown enough to think independently. Amen. Somebody say independently. As an independent voter or as an independent thinker, I've gone both ways because I'm independent in my thinking, amen. I don't let one group drive me into what I believe, amen. Don't call me a liberal because I'm not all liberal, amen. I'm somewhat, somebody say somewhat. This is political talk, somebody say political talk. I'm somewhat liberal, then I'm somewhat conservative because I have conservative thoughts. So when it's time to vote, somebody says time to vote, I got to listen to the candidates, amen, so that I can hear whether or not they are in the realm of what I believe, amen. Yeah. And so sometimes I have to vote for the lesser of two evils, if you will, amen. The one who believes mostly what I believe, that's who I vote for, amen. I don't vote for a particular party because somebody told me that I'm supposed to vote for a particular party, amen. So I said all that to say, you can learn from your community, but things which don't line up with where you are at a particular time, you can change that thought process or that thinking. Does that make sense to you? So the foundation of our thinking comes from our community. Somebody say communities. Communities is where you live, where you hang out consistently, etc. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number three, and this is where I want to spend most of my time. Is this happening in the body? This is good. How we process things, or how we think through things, come out of our foundational thinking. How we process things, or how we think through things, come out of our foundational thinking, or how we learn to think in our foundational years, if you will. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you receive that, I want to suggest something to you. I want to suggest that the way that we process things, somebody say process things. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way. Somebody's going to say, who do he think he is? I'm just the vessel of the Lord. Amen. The way that we process things can be contaminated or polluted with impurities or foreign thoughts. The way that we process things, say process things, or the way that we think through things in our minds can be polluted, say polluted, or contaminated or defiled with impurities and foreign thoughts. Let me prove first that the mind can be contaminated. Mark chapter 7, verse number 20. See, a lot of us think that that the way that we think through things is just the way that we are. But sometimes the way that we think through things isn't the way that we are. Sometimes we think through things based upon what's been heaped on us in our minds in this world system that we live in. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God spoke to me about me. Somebody say about him. All these years that I've been living in this earth realm, I had a hint of what he said, but I did not know that what he said to me lent to my intellect or the way that I understand. God said to me that you are a systematic thinker. Somebody say systematic thinker. Which means I think systematically. I think orderly. I think organizationally. Somebody say amen. That's why you see me walk around and I might see a chair out of order and the first thing I do is put the chair back in line or in order. It's because of the way that I think. I think systematically, amen. Or you might go in my office and look on my desk and you'll see every pile neatly in order, amen. That's because that's the way that I think, excuse me. I think systematically, amen. Now, the downside to that, if there is a downside, is that I'm not very creative. I'm not very creative because I think systematically, amen, which means I can learn a system. And I can put that system in actions pretty easily because that's the way that I think, amen. And then if something tries to interrupt my systematic way of doing things, I get a little upset. Somebody say amen. She'll bear witness to that. Somebody say amen. What I've had to learn as a pastor, as a husband, as a dad, is systems sometimes get disrupted, amen. So I've had to learn to walk away from my system to in order to be able to meet a need, amen, and then go back to my system, amen. That was a place in me raising Matthew where we bumped heads a lot, and we bumped heads a lot because he would bother my things. I'm going somewhere with this. I would tell Matthew, "Don't bother my things. They're my things." Somebody say my. That sounds sort of selfish, doesn't it? I got a revelation that I was being selfish. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when I got a revelation that I was being selfish, I said, Matthew, if you're going to bother my things, put my things back where you got them from. Amen. And then that didn't work. So I said, Matthew, if you're going to wear what he used to wear were my T-shirts. I would say, if you're going to wear my T-shirts, put them down. We got a laundry chute. Put them down on the laundry chute so that I can keep them clean so that I can put them back on or put them on when I got ready to wear them, amen. Yeah. I learned through that that I didn't have a problem with him wearing. I didn't have a problem with him putting back. I didn't have a problem with him throwing down the chute. But the base of what was going on with me, he was disrupting my system. My system. See, when I'm in a hurry, I don't like to look for nothing because I know exactly where it is because I'm systematic. I'm a systematic thinker, amen. So I look for things to be in place systematically because that's the way that I'm wired. Now, a lot of years, I didn't know that about me. So the Lord showed me some things about me. Somebody say about me. I keep trying to tell you at the feet of Jesus, God can teach you some things, amen. And then he told me I was inquisitive. All this leads to my intellect on the way that I understand. I ask questions for understanding purposes. Even when I'm studying, I ask the Holy Spirit, well, why are you writing that way, amen? Well, why did you say it that way, amen? Because I'm looking for understanding or clarity because I want to share clarity with you, amen. And in most cases, he gave me understanding. I'm inquisitive. Somebody say inquisitive. And then he told me you are witty. Somebody say witty. W-I-T-T-Y, which means I'm sort of clever. Which means that I'm sort of intellectually sound. If you're witty, you got to be intellectually sound because you got to be able to process things pretty fast and then give a response, amen. But for a long time, I did not know all of this was my makeup, amen. So what I did was I fought being systematic. I fought being inquisitive. And a lot of times, you know, folks heap things up on you when you work in a different system than they do. Folks tell me all the time that you OCD. No, I'm not OCD. I'm systematic. Amen. Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody tell me so, every now and then. She tell me you just nosy. No, I'm not nosy. I'm inquisitive. Amen. You can laugh as much as you want to laugh, but I'm looking for understanding. Say understand. Yeah, I'm not smart. I'm just witty. Amen. I process information pretty fast, and I'll give you a response pretty quickly, amen. Now, some folks process fast, some folks process quickly. Now, I begin to learn in my wittiness, I would speak down to people. So I began to think, you know, because the scripture says to me that I'm supposed to minister words that adds grace to people's lives, amen. So now that I've understood and learned that my wittiness shouldn't lead me to speak down to people or to say something derogatory to people, now when somebody says something to me and I process it pretty quickly, my response is not a belittling response, but it becomes a positive response because I understand God wants me to deal positively with people. Somebody say amen. Amen. So even though I might process it quickly, I might not respond quickly because I got to figure out how to say it the right way, amen. So at Jesus' feet, we can learn something about ourselves. See, none of us really get to be all that God desires us to be. And I know this is somewhat boring to some, but it's somewhat enlightening to others. Some of us never get to be all that God desires to be because we don't get the impurities out of the way so that we can really see who God has made us to be. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. But at his feet, somebody say at his feet. You can learn some things about yourself. Somebody say amen. So the mind, say the mind. Say the mind can be defiled. The mind can be corrupted. The mind can be filled with impurities. Say impurities. We always have to remember God created us to think good. Somebody say think good. And when we're thinking evil, it simply means that our minds have been corrupted. Does this make sense to you? Listen to what Jesus says. And Jesus says, it's not what comes out of a man that defiles a man. Well, that's what goes in. No. And what comes out of a man that defiles me. Man, go to the next verse because I'm not getting what I'm looking for. Go back to verse number 19. Let's make it make sense. You never did turn my clock on. It says I got 45 minutes. And believe me, I'm going to take every 45 minutes of it. This is what Jerry did. He said, like, oh, my God. Somebody say amen. Basically, what Jesus is saying here is that what goes in us comes out of us. Somebody say comes out of us as it relates to the natural, what we put in by way of foods and things, et cetera. Somebody say et cetera. Next verse, please. Because I'm trying to get somewhere and I got to keep moving. Verse number 20. And he said, what comes out of a man, that what? Defiles a man. Verse number 21. Then I think he gives an example here. He says, for from within, say within. And then he clarifies, out of the heart of men. Say heart of men. Not this heart, but this heart. Or out of the mind, or out of the thinking of men, proceed what? Somebody say evil thoughts. Listen, if your thoughts are evil, that means your mind has been contaminated by evil. And if you stay here long enough, I'm going to show you how to get it purified. And then he goes on to talk about adultery, fornication, murders, and all that kind of stuff. In most cases, it starts with a defiled thought process. And then in verse number 23, he'll say something like, those things is what defiles a man or cause a man's actions to be unclean. So thoughts or the mind or the thoughts of an individual can be corrupted. Here we see with evil. Say with evil. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Are y'all getting this? It's just the way that I think. No, it's not. If it's evil, yeah, it could be just the way that you think, but it's not the way that God desires you to think. Remember, thoughts produce what? Fruit. Somebody say fruit. Is this the right class today? I'm looking for a response right there. I respond to you when you say something to me, amen. Thoughts produce actions, amen. Somebody say amen. So put evil thoughts with that. Evil thoughts will produce evil actions if you don't learn how to curtail your thoughts. This is a scripture that the Lord gave me this week, and I've read it, but I never saw this. He says, and this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as what? The rest of the Gentiles walk. Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, you're not supposed to live like the Gentiles or the unsaved live. Somebody say amen. He goes on to say, in the futility of their mind. Somebody say futility of their mind. Futility means empty-minded or empty. Futility from a moral perspective means depraved. Somebody say depraved. Depraved is defined as having very bad morals. If your actions are bad or corrupt, it means your thoughts are corrupt. If your actions or your moral actions are bad, it means that your thoughts are bad or corrupted. Does that make sense to you? It also means corrupt or perverted. Somebody say perverted. Perverted here means change from God's original intent for it to think the way that God desires for the mind to think is good or purely. Somebody say purely. So when the mind is full of futility, it's full of depravity. And that depravity leads to depraved actions, amen. Now you might look up there and say, well, he was talking about the unsaved. He's talking to the saved folks, amen. He goes on to say, take off the old man, put on the what? New man. The old man is the depraved man. The new man would be the man that's created in righteousness. Somebody say amen. So a Christian's mind can be depraved, amen. So I had to prove to you that the mind can be corrupted with impure thinking. You got that? The mind also can be corrupted with foreign thoughts. Somebody say foreign thoughts. Let me give you one fourth thought. I can give you a lot of paranoia. A paranoid person thinks that everybody's out to get it. A paranoid person thinks that he or she can't trust anybody. So when a paranoid person hears words or hears somebody saying something to them, they process it from a place of paranoia. And they'll respond from that place being a place that I can't trust them, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody say amen. Amen. So paranoia is a foreign thought in the mind of man. Does that make sense to you? Somebody say hurt. Hurt is foreign thought in the minds of mankind. Somebody say in the minds of mankind. Remember, God created the mind to think only good. Somebody say good. When you're hurt, or when you've been hurt, you process things from a hurt place. Somebody say amen. Now, my brothers and sisters are in here, and I don't like for them to think I'm putting down my parents, but a lot of things that I learned that was contrary to conducive living was in my household. And they learned it from their household. When my mom learned better, she began to change some things. But prior to her learning better, my mama used to say some awful things to me. I remember saying this to my mom, and my mom is in heaven with the Lord, God bless her, but this is for teaching purposes. I used to say things to my mom like, Mom, why are you staring at me? And my mom would tell me this. April laughed because she knew what mama said. Mama would say, the cat looked at his mess. How come I can't look at my mess? She didn't use the word mess. But you get the picture, amen.
Yeah.
She said that to me on a consistent basis. And that kind of stuff got in my head, see, produce what? Behavior. And I began to think that I was mess. It hurt me. Somebody said hurt me. My dad used to call me a red SOB. He would say the word. Didn't mean anything about this. That's just how he was. That got in my spirit, in my thinking. And it hurt me. So as I grew out of that environment with my mom and dad and grew into the environment with my wife and my children, certain things that I heard, I processed it from a hurt place. I would say things to my wife like, everybody can do things better than I can. And she would say, why do you think everybody can do things better than you can? If I would have known then what I know now, I would have responded, because that's what I've been taught. That's the seed that has been sown in me, amen. So I was hurt, and I responded out of a hurt place because I processed from a hurt place. Does this make sense to you? I would say things like, well, basically my self-esteem was probably lower than anybody else that I was around. It was because I processed things from the place of being a red SOB, amen. Right. And my behavior came out from that particular way of processing. Somebody say processing.
Process.
Now, I learned later, and I know I'm putting my mama business in the street, that my mama was acting out of a hurt place.
Right.
Somebody say hurt place. My mama had learned prior to her saying all those kind of things to me that she was adopted. And she learned that her mom kept everybody but her. And then she learned that all her siblings were educated. And that made her feel some kind of way. And because she hadn't learned the words to place in her mind to replace all that hurt, she just responded out of that. So she processed stuff from a hurt place because she was hurt. She hurt us, and we began to process things from a hurt place. But as we learned by way of the word that we didn't have to process those things that way, we began to process things differently. Is this making sense to you?
Yeah.
Let's talk about offended people. People that's been offended throughout life. Because they've been offended throughout life, they process things from a place of offense. Before I learned better, I used to say a lot of offensive things to my wife. And those words produce thoughts in her, amen. After I learned not to say so many offensive things to her, I began to say positive things. But she couldn't receive the positive because she was still processing what I said from the place of offense. So which means her thinking had been contaminated by my filthy talking, amen. Does that make sense to you? And because her processing was from my offensive talking, sometimes she would hear things after I got better. She would hear things differently than what I was saying. Okay. For example, and this is for teaching purposes only, I would say, "You look so pretty today." And then she would say, or somebody would say, "What are you saying? I don't look pretty every day." Because you're processing from that place of offense. You're processing from that place of offense. Somebody say offense. The reason why, you know, you can be talking to people and they're always on the defensive. They've been offended. And because they've been offended, they process what you say. Well, it's good or bad from that place of offense. Somebody say offense. I will say some things to her sometimes. And she'll go away. My wife is the type of person that, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, she goes away and process things. And then when she come back after processing things, she will say things to me like, I would say, I'll use the clean version. "How in the world did you get that from what I said?" She said, "That's the way I processed it." So I began to understand that she was processing things not from a pure place, but from a hurt place. Yeah. Now I'm working on changing all that dynamic because I understand it now by saying better things, amen. And then she'll say to me, "Bring to my attention sometime when I do this," and I'll say, "Bring to my attention sometime when I do this," because we want to be better as it relates to how we interact with one another. But it starts with how we process things. Somebody say process things. So the way that we process things determines how we deal with one another. Somebody say amen. Weariness. Somebody say weariness. Weariness can be a physical condition, but weariness can also be a mental condition. While I'm on that, when you're thinking from an impure place, it simply means that your mind is out of order. You know, like you go to the bathroom and you see some a sign on the bathroom say out of order. That means the bathroom is not operating properly or operating the way that it's supposed to operate, amen. So when you're processing from an impure place, it means that your mind is out of order. Or there's a mental condition going on in your mind that shouldn't be there. Does that make sense to you? Somebody say weariness. Weariness can be a physical condition, but it can also be a mental condition. When a person processes from a mindset of weariness, they respond to you like this. You'll say something to them and you'll say, "I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that." It's because you're processing from a place of weary-mindedness. Does that make sense to you? Hope loss is a mental condition. When people lose hope, you can say positive stuff to them all day long, but they go respond to you from a perspective of or from a response or from the conduct of not having hope. It's a mental condition. It's a disorder in the mind. Somebody say disorder in the mind. So we can process things from a place of contamination. Say contamination. Or a place of what has contaminated your mind or your thought process. I'm going to throw some scriptures out at you real quickly, then I'm going to get to the end. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, that we're to keep our heart with all diligence. Which simply means we got to work at what we receive in our minds. And the question is asked, why do I have to work at keeping certain things out of my mind? Because the scripture goes on to say, for out of the heart flows or springs the issues or the issue of life. Somebody say issue. The word issue, I'll give you one word definition for the word issue. It means source. Source means origin. Or the way that you live comes out of the way that you think. So that if you're living, and then he goes on in the first verses after that, talks about how what to stay away from, et cetera, et cetera. If your living is, I'll use some colloquialism, if your living is jacked up, your thinking is jacked up. Which means that you got to start protecting what goes in your mind. Somebody say in your mind. Another scripture that we use all the time, Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Somebody say, so is he. Let me define the word think for you, or thinketh. Is this making sense to you? The word think is defined as to have a thought or idea in the mind. So you behave based upon what you think in your mind. It also goes, you know, I think about something, but anyway, it also goes on to define think as to picture in one's mind that is imagined. Sometimes we imagine things in our minds and then we do what we imagine because we think or imagine those things. Somebody say amen. Then it goes on to define think as to have one's thought full of, say full of. If you're thinking on certain things all the time, chances are you're going to do that particular thing, amen. It goes on to define, oh my God, think as to consider, say consider. Or I like to say to meditate on. Premeditated stuff. You should get you some time in jail if you got caught, amen. You meditated on that thing and what happened? You did it. Somebody did something to you, you meditated on how you was going to get them back, then you got them back. And it got you some jail time. So to think means to consider or to meditate upon. Somebody say amen. And number five, it means to contemplate. That is, a person plan what they're going to do, or they intend in their thoughts what they're going to do, and then they do those things, amen. So it's important to understand that how we think, that's the way we behave. Somebody say amen. So our thoughts, somebody say our thoughts, can be contaminated by impurities or foreign thoughts. Did you get that?
Yes.
Or sin thought or thoughts that contaminate the way that you process things. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
My time's almost up, so I'm trying to get to the cure. Somebody say to the cure. Now, psychologists said this, and if some other preachers heard me, they'll probably disagree with me, but I believe what the psychologist said based upon how the Lord dealt with me. Psychologists said that the brain is physical. Anything physical you can hold in your hand. But the mind is spiritual. I sort of agree with that. The brain is physical, but the mind is spiritual. You can't change the brain, but you can change the mind. With that in mind, if you got a spiritual condition, you got to use spiritual tools to fix a spiritual condition. Does that make sense to you? So if your thought processes are contaminated, it simply means that your thoughts are in the midst of a spiritual condition, which means that it's going to take a spiritual agent to clean up the contaminated condition. We got contaminated over in Collegeville. They were digging up dirt. If you're contaminated in your mind, you got to have the agent that will cleanse your mind. I want to suggest to you that you can purify your mind of contaminated thoughts with the blood of Jesus. I'm sure to you in scripture in just a minute. But you got to learn how to apply the blood of Jesus. And you don't apply the blood of Jesus in your mind just one time. You apply the blood of Jesus in your mind as, don't say continuously, don't say all times. You apply it as much as needed. As much as the contaminated thought or the foreign thought comes in your mind, that's how often you use the blood of Jesus to purify your mind of those thoughts. I want you to think natural. Somebody say natural. Think of the body. Somebody say the body.
The body.
Blood travels through the body. They call the system that the blood travels through the circulatory system. The blood circulates through every organ in the body. Because the blood has something in it that every organ in the body needs. Somebody say amen. As human beings, say as human beings, we breathe in contaminants.
Yeah.
Somebody said breathe in contaminants. Well, when we breathe in contaminants or things that hurts us or can't hurt us, the blood carry those contaminants in most cases to the lungs. Somebody say to the lungs. So that the lung can breathe those contaminants out.
Come on.
We inhale them in, we exhale them out if the organ is working properly. Somebody say amen. Every now and then the organs break down. That's why we have sicknesses. Sometimes those sicknesses leads to death. Amen. So the blood, somebody say the blood. The blood is working in our body to purify our body of toxins or contaminants, if you will. Amen.
Yes.
There's the kidney. Say the kidneys. The blood carries things to our kidneys that we digest that's bad for us or that would hurt us that we need to eliminate by way of waste. Somebody say by way of waste. Some toxins, some contaminants, some things that will hurt us as we go to the bathroom to urinate, we urinate those toxins or contaminants out. That's why sometimes your water is white, sometimes your water is green, sometimes your water is yellow. It's based upon what you're releasing. Somebody say releasing. But the blood works in that releasing or carrying away of toxic process. Somebody say amen. Every now and then you eliminate by way of the bowels or by way of the rectum or by way of the digestive system. The blood carries those things to the digestive system that we digest that needs to be excreted, if you will, to the place where we can get rid of it. Amen. If blood in the body can do that, how much more can blood spiritually do that? Amen. Or the perfect blood of Jesus? Amen. I'm trying to help us today, amen. I'm preaching what I practice. So the blood, say the blood can purify our minds of contaminated or foreign thoughts or contaminated impurities that's been placed in our mind by way of living in the system. Somebody say in the system. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. And I'm trying to close. But you got to apply the blood consistently. Didn't the blood clean up your sins? How come the blood can't clean up your contaminated thinking? Now, I just learned this last week. I've been reading this scripture for a long time. Oh, my God. It says, it talks about the sprinkling of blood. And then it talks about next verse, this verse, the blood of Jesus. It says, how much more shall the what? Blood of Christ, who through what? The eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse. Somebody say cleanse. Cleanse what?
Your conscience.
Of what?
The
to do what?
To serve the living God.
So we see the blood of Jesus as a what? Cleansing agent. Say cleansing agent. Now, the word conscious, say conscious, from the Greek perspective, mean co-perception. Somebody say co-perception. The word co means along with or together with or to share with. Somebody say amen. The word perception carries its own definition. Now, I'm going to give you what the psychologists say about the word perception. Psychologist says that the word perception is defined as one. Say one. Our recognition and interpretation. Say interpretation. Of sensory information. Sensory information is information that's brought into the mind by way of the senses, by what you see, by what you smell, by what you taste, by what you feel, by what you hear. Amen. Five senses. Remember the five senses? Remember you taught that? Psychologist says our recognition and interpretation of sensory information, or what we perceive or understand through the senses, is called perception. Say perception. Did you hear the word interpretation? Which means when we get to the Bible, you read the Bible, and somebody say, well, I got this interpretation. And then somebody else might say, to read the same scripture, say, I got that interpretation, which means interpretations are differently. Somebody say different. So how we perceive stuff that comes in to our mind by way of the senses is determined by how we interpret it. And perceptions mean that we can interpret what comes in, let's say hearing, what we hear differently. I can say to Cheryl, I love you. And based upon her interpretation, she might walk away with, he says he loved me. And if her mind is a little skewed in some areas, she might say, he said he loved nobody but me, amen. It's based upon how she heard it. I might tell Mike, I don't like you very much. And for teaching purposes only, because he know I like him. Based upon how he perceived or based upon how he interpreted, he might walk away thinking that Pastor said he don't like nobody. If he's skewed. But if he's not skewed in his thinking, he'll just hear Pastor say, I just don't like you. So what we hear or what come in through our bodies or our minds through the senses, psychologists call that perception. And we all perceive or interpret what comes into us differently. Some from a pure place, some from an impure place. Does this make sense to you? Psychologist goes on to say, number two, that perception, say perception. Perception also includes how we respond to the information or the way that we act or behave after receiving the information. I use I love you again. I love you, Vicky. Based upon how she interpret what I said, she can respond by saying, he don't love nobody but me. Or if she's skewed in her thinking, she can walk away with the response, or she can give me the response, is the response that he love everybody. But I actually said, I love you, Vicky. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Perception also includes how we respond to the information or the way that we act or behave after receiving information. Number three. Psychologist goes on to say that we can think of perception as a process where we take in sensory information from our environment, say environment, and use that information in order to interact with our environments, or that we use that information to interact with others. So what you learn from your environment, whether it was good or bad, determines how you perceive or interpret, and then it determines how you interact with people or respond. Let's use how you interact with others based upon your perception or interpretation. Does that make sense to you? So if your interpretation is skewed or contaminated, guess what? The blood of Jesus can handle that, amen. Does that make sense to you? So when we put co and perception together, this is what we get. When we put core perception together, it implies that something is attached to our perception or how we perceive. Does that make sense to you? See, God wouldn't purify nothing out of us if it was already right.
Hey.
He's going to purify things out of us that's wrong. By the mere fact that the blood of Jesus can purify conscience or co-perception, it implies that some of our thinking or inner thoughts are jacked up. Does this make sense to you? Don't go to sleep now. Because at the end of the day, God wants our thinking to be pure. Somebody say pure. And if it's not pure, there's a way that we can get it purified, because the mind is spiritual. We use spiritual agents to purify spiritual impurities. Does that make sense? So at the end of the day, if you apply the teaching, and I know some of it might not have understood, and if you didn't understand, the devil gonna steal it from you. But if you apply the teaching that you received today, if you think out of hurt, if you're paranoid, if you think out of fear, if you process things those ways, if you apply the blood of Jesus to those areas in your mind where it needs purifying, God can purify those things. And you can process things from a pure place. Somebody say a pure place. I told you I was going to use all 45 of those minutes, didn't I? When I think immoral thoughts, guess what I do? Lord, I thank you that by the blood of Jesus, you purify those immoral thoughts that I'm having out of my mind in Jesus' name. And they go away. I'm telling you, every time they go away. But they might come back in 15 minutes. They might come back in 20 minutes. They might come back tomorrow. So I go through the same process. I don't always pray it out loud. Sometimes I pray it inwardly, amen. Because I want to deal with you from a pure place. Yeah. Somebody say a pure place. So I want my processing to be pure. You remember when I taught you y'all those teachings on the soul? I taught us that God wants our souls to be whole. Part of getting our souls whole can be applying the blood to the soulless realms of our lives, to purify our soulless realms. That's the way we think, feel, and make the body act, of the impurities that's driving wrong behavior. Right. Of course, you got to do the word. You got to plant the word, but the blood purifies. Does this make sense to you? So I started off with saying I wish the whole church could have been here today, because we need to learn to be able to process from a place of purity. Not a place of hurt, not a place of fear, not from a place of paranoia, not from a place of offense. You need to be able to hear exactly what I'm saying to you. Yes, and process it that way. Yes. And respond correctly. You know, my wife tells me this all the time. You got to be careful what you say from the pulpit. And she'll say, because everybody don't process things the same way. I remember I said something from the pulpit, Shirley, if I can use this, that offended Shirley, and I didn't even know I had done it. And she responded in a way where I had to try to find out what was going on with it. Amen. It's all about the way that she processed. And I still don't know to this day what I said, because she never would tell me. But I know I said something to offend her. Amen. It was never my intent. It was the way that it was processed. So, you know, I used to do this thing where we celebrated somebody every month. I think it was when we were in the old church. I had to stop doing that based upon the way that people processed what I was doing. You would celebrate the person. You would process, he ain't never celebrated me, amen. We used to take suggestions how as it relates to how the ministry could move along better, amen. We had to stop taking them based upon how people processed how we implemented it, amen. A lot of folks was offended when you implemented somebody else's but didn't implement theirs, amen. So we got to be careful, say careful, how we say, how we deal with people, because people process things differently. So I'm learning to just say what God says, say. Hopefully folks will receive that or process it the way that God intended and get the response. Have you ever wondered, and I'm trying to close, have you ever wondered why some people could grow faster than other folks. It's based on how they perceive. See, I can tell some folks what God is saying, and they'll say, God is trying to make me better. Or I can tell another person what God is saying, and they will process it this way. I'm so tired of him being in my business. I don't care what he say. Amen. It's based on how you process. And see, the real deal is I know very few of you all's business. And I said this before, and I said it again. That's why I don't like the council. That's why at some point we're going to have somebody that can counsel other than me, amen. Because when I counsel, I learn things about you. And then if I have to say things about your situation, you think I'm talking about you, amen. And you'll get mad and leave, amen. Based upon the way that you perceived it. I can say good evening to some of y'all based on the way that you proceed to yourself. What's so good about it? The way that you process it. I'm just actually saying hello. But you processed it another way. Does this make sense to you? Your processor can be purified. I was telling Jeremy this morning, and I'm closing. This is my third time, Jeremy. This is my third close. Okay. See, he always tells me that. But when I say something about the clock, you all see it. I was telling Jeremy this morning that on my laptop, it says that my disk space is full. You know what Jeremy said to me? I'll take care of that. That's an easy fix. Him, that's an easy fix because he understands the system. He can fix it pretty fast. I'm trying to tell you there's an easy fix this morning for your processor. And that easy fix is the blood of Jesus. Let me give you one more. Somebody say one more. And I wish you would see. I used to take my car to Freddie to get it fixed. When I took my car to Fred, sometime I wanted him to buy junkyard parts and fix my car. Freddie won't buy junkyard cars, parts. Freddie gonna buy new parts because Freddie's motto is, I want to repair your car where it'll run just the same way it ran when you purchased it. Or he want to restore it back to the original way that it's supposed to run. Yes. Now I don't take my car to Freddie too much now because I don't frequent that side of town much. But what I learned from Freddie was, it costs more to restore my automobile back to the place that it was the place where it was designed to run, if you will. Does that make sense? Do you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Let me throw something at you. It costs more to get your mind back to the place where it will operate the way that God desires for it to operate. However, you didn't have to pay the price. Jesus paid the price through his blood, amen. And we need to value the blood and use the blood in the way that God desires the blood to be used. I didn't say but, I said however, amen. So here's your quick fix to contaminated thinking. I mean, if you always think evil folks, always think negative folks, your processor is contaminated. I'm trying to quit. You need to get it purified. Does this make sense? There's a lot of hurt folks all over America. And they don't understand why they respond the way that they do with people. But it's because of the way that they process things. God said that this ministry is a ministry of healing. This kind of teaching can get a lot of folks healed. Can I throw one more thing to you? I'm preaching God's word. Say God's word. I'm preaching what God says or said to me. God said this concerning what he says. He said, I send my word and it healed them. Psalm 107:20. And then he goes on to say, and delivered them from all of their destruction. So God's word is supposed to bring healing and wholeness to our lives. One of the things preachers do wrong, we try to mix what we think with what he said.
That's right.
And what he says has the healing balm, if you will, within it. Amen. His word to heal. I'm sorry, Fred. I'm trying to get done. His word to heal. And I know you've been sitting down a while. That's all. I'm trying to be compassionate to you sitting down a while. You got to get up. I understand. His word to heal us. If we receive it and allow it to do in us what he desires for it to do. Amen. Let's pray.